Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. And, of course, the host of the program is Carol Marks. Carol will be with us later on in the show. I'm on the line right now with a young lady that I'm very, very happy to have on the program. I've been reading a book that she is the co-writer of for a number of weeks now, and finally we have her on the air. Her name is Kimberly Arcand, and Kimberly, along with Megan Watsky, has written a book that is full of information and beautiful photography. It's called Your Ticket to the Universe, A Guide to Exploring the Cosmos, and it's published by the Smithsonian Press, which is Smithsonian Books, which is a very prestigious publishing arm of the Smithsonian. And I guess in a way it is sort of like the Good Housekeeping seal of approval on this, Kimberly. Am I correct in that?
It sure is, yes. It's been great to work with them.
You are an astronomer, and you are you have a job at the Chandra X-ray Observatory, which you've been doing since 1998. And I guess your title is you're the Visualization and Multimedia Coordinator for NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory. You must have a very large business card.
I know, it's a mouthful, but it's a great job, I have to say. Working with Chandra has been extremely exciting. I mean, new and amazing data comes in every day, and it's just wonderful.
Now, I am assuming that the people listening to this have a working knowledge, as layman, as am I, of astronomy and astrophysics, because there's so much of it today in the popular culture, the Science Channel, the Discovery Channel, so many television documentaries, National Geographic, they touch on astronomy, and I get the feeling that astronomy is growing as an arena of popular culture. Do you have that feeling?
I do. You know, it's interesting because we get a lot of requests at the Chandra X-ray Observatory Center for our materials to be used in very interesting ways, whether it's popular culture on a CD cover or whether it's an artist doing an interpretation of an astronomical image or whether it's in books, online articles. It really does seem like the science is so approachable and it's very visually compelling. So I think that's part of the reason why astronomy seems to be growing, at least, you know, in popular forms of media.
I know that in my generation, and this program is aimed at the 50-plus crowd, so many of us grew up with fabulous science fiction, whether it was comic books or some of the great movies that were made, television series. Star Trek has become such an important part of our popular culture. The Star Wars movies seem to be forever. It is something that people of all ages are interested in, but older folks as well. I mean, this is, I wish they had the kind of stuff like your book and, well, some of the information that we've gathered when I was a kid. It's growing every minute, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think you were probably lucky. I'm assuming that you were sort of there to witness the Apollo missions.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, I mean, I would have loved to be able to see some of that because I think it really sparked a very important interest. And that sort of idea of innovation and that, you know, we as a country can sort of do these amazing things, you know. And generations that have grown up since then, that's not always the case. Some, I think, of these things are taken a little more for granted, you know. We went to the moon, so what? And that's kind of an interesting cultural issue, you know. But I think even the idea with, like, science fiction, I mean, so much of the science that we are looking at today, these things that seem so strange become science facts, and it's always amazing. I mean, a good example is some of the research being done in exoplanets, you know, planets outside of our solar system and other solar systems, and the fact that some of them look like the planet Tatooine from Star Wars. I mean, who would have thought, you know, when you saw that sort of iconic scene with Luke Skywalker and the two suns, that there is most likely a planet like that out there? It's really, really cool.
Well, just the idea that we now know there are these exoplanets, there are planets going around other stars. We did not have any proof of that. And I remember growing up, it was a question as to whether or not planets were just an anomaly, that they just happened to be, you know, unique to our solar system, to our sun. It wouldn't be a solar system, you know, if other stars had planets, then they'd have a solar system, too. So just the discovery that there are perhaps more planets in the galaxy than there are stars,
yes.
increases the chance that, you know, I guess the big question, that there might be life out there, that we may not be alone, which I think is at the heart of all of our interest in this. Is there life out there?
I think so, too. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things going in astronomy today, from black holes to exploding stars to dark energy. There are, you know, some really great topics. But these ongoing discoveries of planets outside our solar system are very exciting because it does get into that question of, you know, where are we? Where are we from? And, you know, where are we going? And, you know, is there life out there beyond Earth? That's kind of one of the ultimate questions to answer. And we can't just answer it by finding a planet that looks like our own somewhere, some other sort of Goldilocks situation perhaps, or finding life that can live in much more extreme climates. But, you know, those kind of finds of an Earth-like planet would at least prove that there are other places out there that could, in theory, support life the way our own has. And that's extremely, I mean, it's really important.
What is the Chandra X-ray Observatory exactly?
Chandra is in a really amazing telescope that's specially designed to detect X-ray emission from super hot regions of the universe, so things like exploding stars, clusters of galaxies, matter around black holes. Because X-rays are absorbed by Earth's atmosphere, Chandra does have to orbit up above it. So the spacecraft goes about a third of the way to the moon. So some of our scientific discoveries are on things, very exotic things, like black holes and stars that cluster together and, you know, the care and feeding of galaxies, that sort of thing.
Mm. So most people think of the only space telescope is the Hubble, but there are others.
Yes.
How come Hubble gets all the attention?
Well, okay. Hubble has such an amazing story, right? I mean, for one thing, the optical region of the electromagnetic spectrum is probably the easiest to relate to. We can all see visible light with our eyes, and Hubble takes these pictures that are more like how we would think like a snapshot of the universe might be because it's optical light. Of course, that's not true, but that, I think you kind of get that feeling from Hubble. But also the personal story of how the telescope came to be, you know, built and sent up to space, and it was broken. They had to do a rescue mission. I mean,
right.
There was so much drama there, and it's been working for so long now. I mean, it's at 20-something years. I mean, it's an incredible piece of equipment, you know. So there's a lot of drama and excitement around it. But, yes, there are a ton of other observatories. And, of course, the reason is that we have to look at many different kinds of light in order to get a complete picture of the universe. For example, you know, if you're a New Englander and you want to go see, say, a baseball game. So for some reason you have an alien friend that comes down to visit you, and this alien wants some American culture and decides to go with you to Fenway Park. So the two of you are sitting in your tiny little seats, cramped with your salty popcorn, ready to watch the game. But the alien looks out on the field, and all he, she, or it can see is the third baseline. Now, if you picture just the third baseline, it's this little strip of white paint and a little bit of brown and green on either side of it. You're not going to be able to figure out what the rules of the game are. I mean, baseball, I think, is hard enough to figure out the rules of the game if you can see the whole field. So if you can only see a portion of it, you know, it's going to be confusing and you're going to be lost and your alien friend will probably leave. However, if you can see the whole field, you know, you start to get a more complete picture of how things are, you know, what the rules of the game are, what all those players are doing, you know, what's the point. And the equivalent here is that being able to use other types of light with other types of telescopes, such as the Chandra X-ray Observatory, it allows you to make a more complete picture of the universe.
Well, we really are limited by our senses, and it's interesting the way you point out that, you know, because we see light with our human eyes a certain way, we think that's reality, and that anything else is not quite reality. But there might be many realities beyond our senses, and you're touching on that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, color is perception, right, that we see with our eyes because of the way our eyes have developed on our planet with our atmosphere and our sun, you know. So, I mean, even if you go next door to Mars, for example, and if for some reason, you know, a life form like us happened to be on that planet, their color perception would be very different. They have, if you look at an image of Mars that is uncolor corrected, like done as in, quote, natural color according to what Mars looks like, it has a very butterscotch sky. So when scientists look at images of Mars, for example, they often will color correct it to give it more of the appearance of Earth because they're trying to study things like rock formations, for example. And our eyes are so well attuned to what Earth looks like and what other things should look like that it's hard for scientists to pick up the details in an image that they would otherwise miss if it was very sort of bland and flat in color. Whereas if you adapt that image to make it look more like what would be on Earth, you're seeing a higher contrast, and you're going to be able to pick out more details. So the whole idea of color and perception is it's just a really cool topic. I mean, I could talk about that probably for like another 20 minutes if you wanted me to.
We could talk about any aspect of this for more than 20 minutes because there's no end to, just as there's no end to the sky. You know, you could take the smallest little speck of space and then with these telescopes realize, oh my gosh, that little speck of space contains countless galaxies, you know, that go back billions of years, and you might not even notice it's there. It's so darn expansive that the biggest problem I think we face is wrapping our heads around it, understanding it.
Definitely. I think scale is a big problem for astronomy when you're trying to sort of learn your way through it. I mean, wrapping your head just around the idea of some of the distances in our solar system is hard. You know, as soon as you have to start talking about things like light years instead of talking about miles, it's really confusing. You know, and when you get out to things that are, you know, galaxy clusters that are just these huge, they're the largest gravitationally bound structures in the universe. They're huge, they're far, you know, they're about as massive as you can get. Well, it's kind of interesting, like, why do we care about something like that? You know, if you can't really relate to it, you can't relate to that kind of distance or size, well, what's the point, you know? But there is a good point to studying galaxy clusters. I mean, for one thing, of course, we live in a larger ecosystem in the universe. You know, we're not just a little planet Earth popping along around with our sun and there is no one else out there. I mean, as far as, you know, planetary matter and galactic matter and other stars and all that, we are part of our solar system, of course. Our solar system is part of our galaxy. Our galaxy is part of our local group, you know. So it helps us to understand things when we can look at these bigger scales. And also it helps us to understand the fates of our universe when we look at these really grand cosmologic type of objects, because, you know, what happens with things that are so big and so far away? Do they start accelerating from us or not? I mean, these questions are important for us to sort of figure out the fate of the universe that we happen to live in.
That's Kimberly Arcand. She is an astronomer at NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory. We're talking about her book, Your Ticket to the Universe, A Guide to Exploring the Cosmos, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment when A Touch of Gray continues.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and let's get back to a very interesting conversation we're having with Kimberly Arcand. She's an astronomer at NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory in Cambridge, and we're talking about a new book that she's the co-author of. It's called Your Ticket to the Universe, A Guide to Exploring the Cosmos. As one goes through your book, one starts locally and it goes further and further and further and further out. And at one point when you do deal with galaxies, you have a double truck spread here that I'm looking at right now of Andromeda, which is 2.5 million light years away. And I to this day have never seen Andromeda. I've looked every first of all, it's hard to see anything anymore because the skies are so cloudy and light pollution and all that. You have to go out to the mountains or to some place, and I just haven't had a chance to ever see the little smudge that they say Andromeda appears to be with the naked eye. That's one of my life quests, is to see Andromeda
on a clear night.
But it says here that the closest spiral galaxy to us, the Andromeda Galaxy, would appear 8 times the size of the full moon if the sky in the sky if our eyes were sensitive enough to see it. Is that true, that it really is that massive in terms of its distance from Earth and from our solar system, that it takes up that much space in sky? I was under the impression it was just like a dot.
Well, so that's what our eyes can perceive, but this is a massive galaxy that spans about 150,000 light years across. It's huge. And not only that, but it's, you know, one of our close neighbors. I mean, they believe that this galaxy will collide with our own, for example, eventually, but not for another, like, 5 billion years or something like that, so we're totally safe for now. However, you know, this is a really massive structure. And when you start thinking about things like angular measurement and placement on the sky, you know, it's easy to see how big in the sky things can become, like when they are close, cosmologically speaking. I mean, if we had a galaxy cluster that was, you know, 12 billion light years away, well, that would never be huge on our sky, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But Andromeda is relatively close to us. You know, it's an excellent galaxy to study. It looks a lot like the Milky Way. It's a beautiful spiral galaxy, and because we're inside our own galaxy floating around on one of the arms, you know, we can never get a complete picture of what our galaxy looks like from the outside. So we can look at something like Andromeda as a close neighbor and another spiral to sort of get a sense of, you know, what our own galaxy can look like and how it can function.
Right. Every picture of the Milky Way galaxy that we ever see is really an artist's impression based on what we know of other galaxies and the mathematics involved in trying to map out the sky from our perspective. Isn't that true?
Well, sort of, yeah. So, I mean, if you see a version of the Milky Way galaxy that is a full,
right,
you know, messy pancake spiral galaxy, yes, that is definitely going to be an artistic impression. However, we do have really good astrophotographers and telescopes that can take pictures of the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
Right.
And those are real, you know, because we are not in the center. And as humbling as it is for humanity over the past thousands of years, as we've sort of learned our place in the universe, you know, we are not the center of the star. The sun does not go around us. You know, we are not the center of the solar system. We are not at the center of our galaxy. We're not at the center of the universe, you know. So we can take a picture, an image of our own galactic center, but, I mean, we can never get a complete picture of it top down or side view where you can see the entire thing because we're in it.
With everything changing so quickly in astronomy, do you fear that your book will be outdated, like, within 3 weeks?
Well, you know, that's a great question. We did really consider that when we were writing the book. I mean, part of the inspiration for this book was an exhibit that we worked on a few years back in 2009. And, you know, even from 2009 until 2012, when we were writing it, there was definitely stuff that needed to be updated. But we tried to take a very evergreen view of this stuff. You know, we picked some of the best images at the time. We picked some of the science topics that seemed like the most exciting. There's always going to be room for updates, of course, but we tried to make things evergreen and talk a little bit more about, like, why we care, why this is interesting, what are some cool things to see in this image versus just, you know, spitting out, like, name, date, and serial number type of information that can very quickly be outdated. But, of course, you know, maybe we'll write book number two and update some of the stuff.
I'm sure you will. Now, in conclusion, you're in the middle of the astronomy world. You hear all the stuff. You watch all the documentaries, read the books, have the latest information. Do you think that we're close to some kind of a major revelation? Are we on the verge of something big, like discovering an Earth-like planet or discovering that there is a parallel universe or knowing for sure that there's life out there? Something. Do you feel that we're on the verge of a revelation of some kind?
Well, I'm a very optimistic person in general, so maybe you're asking the wrong person, but I do feel like it's a very exciting time in astronomy. And, I mean, if we go back to exoplanets again really quickly in the Kepler mission from NASA that has been, you know, revealing thousands of exoplanet candidates, to me it feels like there's just a wealth of data in that project alone that could give us a really amazing discovery, you know. So I do feel like in my lifetime that could be one of the really big finds. But, you know, a lot of science and a lot in astronomy is, these days is more of those incremental finds,
mm-hmm.
which can be just as exciting. I mean, obviously it would be huge to find, like, some perfect Earth-like planet somewhere and be able to find in my lifetime the idea of another life form. That would be very amazing. But, you know, sometimes these smaller and incremental finds are just as amazing because it lets you sort of sit back and think of all the work that has come before that one particular part of the discovery and, you know, how far along in our knowledge that we've come. But, yeah, I think I'd put some money down that we've got a big discovery coming at some point.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. I find this, you know, I'm in broadcasting and I'm in a totally different field, but I find myself interested in astrophysics and all of these things on a tremendous level as sort of a fan of it all. And I think that there's a growing number of people like me, which I think is good. I don't think enough attention is paid in the media, in the news, to the sciences. And I think that this is just strikes at the very core of our intelligence and our curiosity. Kimberly Arcand, you and Megan Watsky have put together a beautiful book, Your Ticket to the Universe, A Guide to Exploring the Cosmos. It's published by Smithsonian Books, and it's one of those books that makes a great display piece but has so much content in it you could read for, you know, you can read this till centuries after it's obsolete.
Well, thank you. It's been great to talk with you.
Nice talking to you, too. Thank you. Kimberly Arcand. She is an astronomer at NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory. Her book is titled Your Ticket to the Universe, A Guide to Exploring the Cosmos. It's published by Smithsonian Books. If you'd like more information, visit yourtickettotheuniverse.com. That's yourtickettotheuniverse.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our senior correspondent, who's also vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine, Kevin Casey. And then the host of the program, Carol Marx, will be joining us. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined by Kevin Casey, our senior correspondent, whose day job is vice president and executive editor of the trade publication Talkers at Talkers.com. They serve the talk radio industry. And, Kevin, this has been a week in which I imagine the Zimmerman verdict has absolutely dominated conversation on talk radio. It was one of those stories that broke over the weekend last weekend. Did it catch a lot of stations by surprise?
You know, it caught some stations by surprise, but believe it or not, this has happened enough times in the past, oh, say, 3, 4, 5 years, that more stations are catching on. They've been taken to task in their local media and in the trade magazines for not being aware, not having someone local who could at the very least say, hey, let's pick up our national news network's coverage of this event and do something. And there were stations that that did that, even though it broke very late on Saturday Eastern time.
Now, this story has been one where there have been all kinds of points of view. Let's face it, there's a tremendous preponderance of conservative ideology on today's news talk radio, but it isn't all conservative. There are moderates, there are progressives, and there's Urban Talk Radio, and this story has provoked as many points of view as there are out there in the general public.
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is when you stand back and look at it, and as we do, you know, as I do as an editor at Talkers, is we notice that there's always, when it comes to a legal case of this type, people always think they know who should be guilty or not guilty or whatever. But when you throw in the mix of there being racial issues, the tension just goes that much higher, and people are that much more passionate about their belief of whether the person is guilty or not guilty.
So it's where political correctness meets the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And it never is anything but a messy affair. I do hope, certainly, that the divisiveness that this particular verdict in this case has exacerbated, I hope that it passes quickly and that we can get back to more peaceful relationships between all of the different polarities that dominate conversation in the marketplace of ideas. Would you agree?
Totally. I would completely agree.
Thank you very much. Kevin Casey is the vice president and executive editor of the trade publication that serves the talk radio industry, Talkers.com. And if you want to know more about talk radio, what's going on behind the scenes, and we're talking about a lot of information, including audio and video presentations, as well as things to read, why don't you go on over? It's absolutely free. You don't have to be in the industry to read it and to enter the website. It's talkers.com. Coming up next on A Touch of Gray, Carol Marks, the star of the show, in an interesting conversation. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here now is the star of our show, the host and founder of the program, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. She's in conversation now with Virginia Madsen and Dr. Ricky Polykove. She's an Academy Award-winning American actress and documentary film producer. She's starring in The Hot Flashes, an upcoming film set to be released this month by Susan Seidelman, director of Desperately Seeking Susan. The film is trying to defy age stereotypes as well as raise awareness of breast cancer. Dr. Polykove is from the University of California, and she's going to talk about changes that come with menopause.
Let's talk about what you're doing today. Can you tell us about the amazing cast in the movie Hot Flashes that will be out?
Yes, it's myself, Brooke Shields, Cameron Manheim, Daryl Hannah, and Wanda Sykes, the amazing Wanda Sykes. And now we are a group of 50-something women who are team up to play basketball against the high school varsity team to raise money for charity. And chaos ensues.
Now, also, didn't you all, and I was so impressed, that you had to attend a rigorous basketball camp?
Well, they did, but I didn't. I actually came in late in the game, and I had to go basically from the airport to the basketball court, and they had to have, like, a full week of practice. And I walk in, and there, Cameron's running up and down, and Wanda's shooting, three-pointers. And I had to figure out how to play basketball right then and there. But the good news was I found that I was pretty good at it.
Excellent. And, the women of the film are all trying to come to terms with the fact that they're aging, and by taking on a new challenge and being successful at it, they're able to get a new lease on life. And I think that's a wonderful and a powerful message.
It really is. There's a strong message underneath this very funny movie. I love that it's a movie for women. It's a movie for grown-ups, at a time of year when pretty much everything is about superheroes. So this will be a nice alternative.
Now I'm going to bring Dr. Ricky Polykove from the University of California at San Francisco into our conversation with you, Virginia, because we're going to talk about how we can make women feel more comfortable talking about a painful condition that can occur during or after sexual intercourse. So, Dr. Ricky Polykove, how many women have some pain and experience this problem?
Well, about 80% of women by the fifth year of menopause will experience some degree of painful intercourse or dyspareunia. That's the medical term for this medical condition. And if you take 65 million plus or minus a few menopausal women in the United States, you take 80% of them, it's a lot of women. And so finally, with the aid of a gorgeous, vivacious leader like Virginia Madsen, I think women are going to find their voice, find their words, and be able to bring this up with doctors. And my job is both to educate the public, but also equally important is to educate physicians so that the care providers to whom women take their issues, finally, after they've cleared their throat and spoken up for themselves, are addressed by the clinicians, because we have lots of very successful treatment options.
Well, don't you think also, Virginia, that a lot of women just aren't comfortable about talking about intimacy issues with either friends,
Carol,
or a doctor?
That's very true, but I'm not. And so there's a wonderful website called findingthewords.com. And if you're one of the women who is suffering in silence, you may feel like you're all on your own. This is a wonderful place to go. It has a lot of information about dyspareunia and a new treatment that has come out to reverse the effects. And it's really a great resource. And I just want to encourage women to find their own words and bring this and discuss it with their doctor.
And I wanted to ask Dr. Polykove a little bit more about this pill that has just gotten approved by the FDA. What is different about it?
Well, it's very different to have an oral option that's not an estrogen. Until Oxfina that Shionogi has brought to market, and it got FDA approved in February, until Oxfina came on the scene, the only product that you could take by mouth that affected vaginal health and comfort with intercourse were really estrogens. And so this is the first and only prescription non-estrogen oral option that is approved by the FDA and that really reverses some of the inevitable menopausal changes due to the absence of estrogen in menopause that lead to dyspareunia. So it's pretty exciting. We know from years and years of taking care of women that 80% plus want an oral option. They don't want to use a cream or a local suppository for this problem. And so rather than suffer in silence and have it erode the quality of your intimacy with your partner, now women have a convenient oral option and they can explore the safety and educate themselves about the science before they go to their doctor. They can go to the website, findingthewords.com, read the material, understand the risks and benefits in ways that are in their language and meaningful to them, and then feel more confident and more succinct in bringing it up with your doctor to explore treatment options that will be successful and help restore the joys of intimacy to your love life.
And I know a lot of people think that painful intercourse is just caused by, you know, after you enter menopause, but it can be caused by other things, and that's what a doctor can explore and find out.
Yes, and I think, you know, it's you know, our sexual health is a vital part of our entire being. And I think, you know, when our sexual health is taken away from us because of something like dyspareunia, you know, this is a huge loss in our lives. And you can imagine what this does to a relationship, to couples, when one partner doesn't want to have sex anymore because of pain. And I think that there was kind of a feeling among a lot of women thinking like, well, now I've had menopause, that's just the way it is, and I just have to deal with it. It's like, no, you can go to your doctor. You can. There is a treatment for this. And, you know, so I encourage women to go to findingthewords.com. No matter where you are on the menopause scale, it's really important to know what lies ahead and what you can do to treat it.
And I want to ask Virginia Madsen, for all her friends, I believe you have quite a few films coming out this year. You're really busy. Can you tell us about a few of your projects?
Well, I know I have a lot going on. I've got the Anna Nicole Smith story, which is going to be on Lifetime. The Hot Flash is on the 12th. And the other films don't have a release date yet, so I'll keep my fingers crossed and I'll get back to you when we do.
And I just wanted to mention one other thing about the film that you're doing, Hot Flashes, because that basketball team is raising money for cancer.
No, raising money for a mobile mammogram unit.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful, and breast cancer, you have been up front in advocating that women take care of themselves and be advocates when it comes to that. So
yes,
I think,
and I, you know, I mean, I go on Twitter when I'm, you know, in my pink gown when I'm getting my mammogram. I mean, I really encourage women to have their annual mammogram and visit our website of findingthewords.com.
That's Virginia Madsen and Dr. Ricky Polykove in conversation with Carol Marks. And if you'd like more information, go to findingthewords.com. That's findingthewords.com. And if you'd like more information about Carol Marks, her adventures, and go to a place with a great amount of information, not to mention the archives of all of the fine shows we present on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, go to atouchofgray.com. And we spell gray with an E. Coming up next, our senior correspondent, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, talking about identity theft from the dead. That's next when A Touch of Gray continues. Thank you.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's quite a guy. He's an author. He's a lawyer. He's prolific, and he knows about most of the topics we talk about on this show. He's our resident expert on all things. He is particularly astute when it comes to fraud and scams. As a matter of fact, he has a website that is called scamicide.com. He's written the Bible of scams. He wrote The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. Check that out. Here Steve is now to talk about identity theft from the dead. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, identity theft isn't bad enough, but now you even have to worry about it, or your heirs do, after you pass away, because identity thieves, they just have absolutely no scruples whatsoever. And so what they will do is they will go through obituaries and try and get information there to steal someone's identity. And what happens is if they can get enough information to steal the identity of a dead person, the dead person, and often the people who are running the estate, acting as personal representatives, aren't generally looking to check on accounts to see if indeed they have been compromised or the security has been compromised. So it can often be 3 to 4 to 5 months before someone realizes that the deceased has become a victim of identity theft. You might say, well, what difference does it make? What difference it makes is you could end up having claims against the estate stuff or financial matters. You can have all kinds of problems from that. So the best kind of medicine in any case is always to avoid the problem. So when someone dies, one of the things that you want to do is make sure that you don't put too much information into the obituary. You certainly don't want to put the birth date. You want to be careful even about the address, even maiden name, because these are all things that can be used by an identity thief to get information to obtain credit. Get about, maybe even a dozen certified copies of the death certificate, because you're going to want to notify credit card companies, banks, insurance companies, essentially any financial institution that the deceased had an account with. And you want to send them a certified copy of the death certificate and make sure that they indicate that the account is closed, account holder is deceased. You also want to contact the three major credit reporting agencies in writing, certified mail, return receipt requested, and ask them, send them in again the certified copy of the death certificate, and ask them to put a deceased alert on the individual's credit report. What this will do is enable you to be protected from the identity thief getting access to the credit report, maybe even through the Social Security number, and running up debts and credit and all kinds of problems using that deceased person's credit. Any executor, any personal representative would also want to notify the Social Security Administration to make sure that they are aware. And the final thing you may want to do is get a copy of that death certificate to the local Registry of Motor Vehicles to make sure that no driver's license would be issued. So a lot of steps to follow. It does seem like it's, no puns intended, overkill, but it really is an important thing to do because identity thieves, they don't care whether you're living or dead.
Thank you, Steve. Interesting and scary indeed. And check out scamicide.com and check out The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall by Steve Wiseman. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the show. Thank you, Kevin Casey. The entire Touch of Grey broadcast team, on behalf of us, I, Michael Harrison, invite you, our listener, to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.